What's going on? My name is Will, and I have the honor and the privilege as serving as one of the leaders here at Transformation Church. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has such an incredible word for you today. So let's jump into this amazing message.
Today, I only got 4 weeks left of cuffing season. Yeah, that's how I feel. I have 19 more messages. Okay? We only got four left. This one, I'm going to gently unwrap a gift that actually is a slap in the face. So, like, imagine having a box and then somebody being like, open, and they pow, slap you. I'm gonna tell you up front, that's this message, okay? But it may be the most important message in the entire series because this one is about relationships. And I know some of y'all is like, I'm married. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all are single and this one's really gonna hit you. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all think, because I've been married 52 years, I don't need this message. Let me turn it off. This one right here is for everybody. Say everybody. Not everybody. Everybody say everybody. That's E-R. Body. Everybody. We've been in a series called Cuffing Season. This is week 14 of a series we're calling Cuffing Series. And this week, I kind of like, everybody thought this whole series was going to be about relationships, and we kind of didn't make it about that at all, like people relationships. This one is. This is like relationship goals on steroids in one message. And I'm going to give you the title right up front. Today, the Holy Spirit told me to talk to you about being cuffed to the cuddle. You are cuffed to the cuddle. And some people are like, no, I'm not. Cuddling, yeah, that's not really my thing. Cool. Just give me about 40 minutes to unfold this revelation to you, because the body of Christ has been living in this carnal state of going to things that are not godly for comfort. And they've been very intimate and close with it. They've been cuddling with things that has the power to kill them. Okay, let's back up. Somebody is like, ew. Cuff to the cuddle. Everybody say cuff to the cuddle. Let's go here. How many people in this room, no matter if you're single or you're married, like cuddling? Come on, let's just be hands in the air. You can be 600 pounds and you still make me the little spoon. You hear me? Touch me, woman of God. I love to cuddle with my wife. Even if you're single right now, there's something about have you ever met somebody that give a good hug? You know what I'm saying? The hug that's like, hold on, get up off me. Get up off me. You know that hug that you gotta get up off me hug? It's something about that embrace. And there's something that happens, and there's something that happens when the embrace happens just 1 second longer than regulation. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know when somebody hug you, but it have just, that was too long. Stop it. It's just a little beyond like, hey, what's up? It's just like, What were you trying to say to me through that embrace? And I found out that, let me talk to the single people for a minute. Y'all calm down. There is this idea that in your singleness, you're missing something. And you're like, I am, Pastor Mike, a cuddle. I'm missing a cuddle buddy. I need somebody to keep me warm at night. What I found out about cuddling is most cuddles are a counterfeit connection. Most of the time when we cuddle with people, I'm talking about people right now, Netflix and chill. Just come over and let's just watch a movie. Hey, I know you're an adult. I know I'm an adult. Nothing's gonna happen that we don't. Let's cuddle. And this is stuff we don't talk about because this is the stuff we see the results of. This is the stuff that we deal with the consequences of, but we never talk about the seed form of it. Because cuddles happen in your consciousness before they ever happen in real life. Now, I wasn't with you this week, and I don't know what you did this week, and I don't know what you're planning on doing today, and I don't know what you're planning to do tomorrow, but I really feel like God told me to come straight at everybody who has been longing for a relationship more than a relationship with him. It's a counterfeit until it has covenant attached to it. Okay, let me come back. Okay, look. See, something about a counterfeit, I'm just trying to walk you slowly into this, okay? Counterfeits, let me just tell them myself. Most of the people that I cuddled with before Natalie, I knew they weren't the person I was supposed to be in covenant with. I just like cuddling. I like being close to somebody. I like somebody actually having a connection with me that nobody else had. And the truth of the matter is there are people in your life right now that have access to you that nobody knows they have access to you except you and them. And maybe you're not cuddling physically, but you're cuddling mentally. Y'all are making dreams and visions and plans together. Uh-oh. And you're nowhere close to covenant. But you're building something with somebody that's going to end up being a counterfeit and cause you a catastrophic end. Because you have been cuffed to a connection that is counterfeit. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of married people cuddling with somebody other than their spouse. We counsel them every week. And you're on Facebook looking up high school classmates. Maybe we should do uncuffed to the classmates. Oh, because I'm in your business. And it starts off very pure, like, how's business going? You live in Arizona now? Saw your kids are out of the house? And then very, very, just almost like subtly, just one time you're angry with them, just tired of this bleep right now. Fill in the bleep. What do you mean? Everything looks so perfect in your life. Sinned. I don't know. Nothing really. Just a lot of pressure. I can help you relieve that pressure. How? And for the next 4 weeks, you're in different states. But every moment you get, there's a connection being formed that is cuddling something in your mind that's making you look at your current situation and thinking you have a way of escape. Okay. This is about to be too real for a lot of people because it's your actual life right now. You're going through the motions, but you're actually cuffed to the cuddle. Okay, let me just say it. The reason I have to expose this, because most of the people we're cuddling with that we're not supposed to have covenant with, it's a counterfeit. And a counterfeit, if you know anything about counterfeits, a counterfeit has the same visual, but not the same value. Y'all ever seen a fake Louis Vuitton purse? Some of y'all have them by your feet right now. And they carry the visual. I mean, it came in the box and everything. Had a receipt with it, and you got it from the corner man on 46th Street North. He was like, I got bags. Like, it carries the visual. Somebody mad at me. She is looking at me like, ah, how dare you? I'm not hating on you. I'm just saying if you go to resell it, or if you get it appraised, it doesn't have the value. It has the, most of your relationships have the visual, but no value. You walking around with people and situations, it look great. Matches your outfit. Weighs about the same, but don't get too close. Don't start checking the details. Don't get into the actual feel of the leather. Don't actually take it to somebody who's touched the real thing. Because they will be able to spot a counterfeit immediately. But when all you've seen is replicas. Okay. See, the counterfeit has the same makeup, but not the same material. A counterfeit has the same look, but not the same luxury. And there are many relationships that we have been participating in because we've been cuffed to the cuddle, cuffed to wanting to be close, cuffed to wanting somebody to know us and feel us and have us. And he ugly. You don't even think he cute. Can we be honest right now? You're not attracted. You're not attracted. And some of y'all think I'm just talking about relationship, but apply it to the business partner too. Oh, you're not even attracted to that, but it is convenient. See, there's a thing that happens when you're not attracted, but you're available. A lot of the relationships that we have is not about attraction, it's about availability. Who picks up the phone when I call? When am I in need? Who shows up? Okay. Stop settling for counterfeit cuddles. Write this down. A counterfeit connection, this is the reason I'm saying this and I'm trying to build this. Because a counterfeit connection or a counterfeit relationship can leave you compromised. The question I have for you today is, who are you cuddling with? Who, when you get in trouble, who do you climb up in their lap? Not even physically, just I'm mad. Whose lap do you climb in to start talking about how pissed you are? He said, pissed in church? So much more for you. Whose lap do you climb into when you're frustrated? When you're bothered? Where do you lay when you've believed a lie about yourself? Who are you cut? Who do you get in bed with? I'm gonna just lay here by myself and think positive thoughts. Oh Lord, I'm hot and bothered, but great is your mercy. Ooh, ooh. Thank you, Lord, for being my safe place in a time of need. Because I'm mad and I want somebody to hold me. I want something to make me feel comfortable. That's why a lot of y'all got a bunch of pillows. That pillow, you be making a whole person out of pillows. Just. And what happens is at some point, this doesn't fulfill you. So this is what we do. We invite people in cuffing season into our beds. And they can be fake. We don't care who we cuddle with if it makes us comfortable. They can be fake. And they've been fake since we met them. But it don't matter when it's convenient. How you doing? You comfy? We're not gonna do nothing. I feel your heart. And somehow we convince ourselves that we can stay at this place of connection and nothing else happen. But the crazy thing is the person I'm cuddling with, I only got a piece of them. And so I think, like, I know this is not real. I know this is not fully real. So let me see if I stay with them long enough, they'll bring out some other pieces of themselves. See, I know her like nobody else. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. She's not really giving me all of her yet, but if I make fake commitments, maybe I can construct something that looks. And I'm not gonna claim you in front of nobody. But just make sure you're there when it's time to cuddle. Had a hard day at work? Cuddling. Frustrated about the outcome? Cuddling. See, this is the thing I learned about cuddling. Write this down. Cuddling usually happens behind closed doors. You don't see nobody out in public cuddling. Like, they don't be like laying down on a park bench cuddling. No, most of the relationships that are counterfeit that we allow into our life that have the opportunity to leave us compromised, it happens in the dark behind closed doors. My question is, where are the relationships that nobody knows you're in? And who has the key to the door? Because the truth of the matter is, can't nobody help you behind a closed locked door. And too many believers are cuddling. We don't even know you're friends with that person, but every time we get around them with you, there's this weird vibe. And I'm your prayer partner. And I've asked you straight up, what's going on? Them, that's my brother in Christ. This brother and sister in Christ crap that y'all been, that's the brother and sister you've been cuddling with. And you want us to pray that God would keep you when you keep letting in the same person to your vulnerable spaces. And I just want to be honest. Anybody I've laid in this position with, one of two things have happened. I got convicted to the point where I got out of this situation, or I made a connection that would reproduce out of this situation. Oh, I'm talking big talk right now. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't stay, write this down, you can't stay that close to someone without wanting to eventually create something more. Stay with the person like this. And you know me, I'm a big cuddler. So if I'm cuddling with my wife, the right leg has to get over. See, some of y'all too saved for this right now. But you don't have a proper cuddle if there's not a part of your body leaning on them. Stay in that position for 35 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. Do you want to pray afterwards? Or do you want to play afterwards? Y'all gonna be fake. Y'all don't wanna talk. My kids are in here. They already know. They've been on TikTok. They already seen. They already know how all of this happens, and they've already experienced some of it. And you won't find out until a decade later, because you're living in La La Land, knowing that you have the same blood running through you. And what was you doing at 16? Okay. The saints is so fit. Do y'all see how tight booty people are right now? But the truth of the matter is, many of the problems that we deal with in the church is fixing consequences that started as a cuddle. And the truth of the matter is, all you really want is being selfish, and you're really looking for the cookie. I'm trying to be as PG rated as possible. But we might have to do an uncut version of this. And every time, it can be different mannequins, different cookies, bragging about how many different types of cookies you've had. Oh, come on, don't play me. Oh, I got the mini Chips Ahoy. You ain't never heard of mini Chips Ahoy? But the double stuffed Oreo, did you see our double stuffed? Like, okay. Cuff to the cuddle. Y'all wanna act funny with me? Most of y'all kids started with a cuddle. Can you just give me a massage? Uh-huh. Oh, I'm telling the truth. Just a hand massage. It doesn't take much when you connect in a counterfeit relationship to make you want it to go to more. You want a new moment, a new memory, more. This is the thing that I want to let everybody know, okay? God created the cuddle. We were created with the desire to cuddle. Write that down. God created us with the desire for connection. He created us with the desire of closeness. We all want somebody to really know who we really are and still accept us. Like, I'm jacked up, but you still love me? Like, my breath don't smell like this every morning, but you would still let me come close to you? Like, you know that I really fumbled the ball in this area, but you see me in my deficiencies and still want to come in an intimate setting with me? That was put there by the Creator. But He put it there to be housed within covenant. That's right. And most people want the cuddle with no covenant. Nice. This is not popular preaching, because we want everybody to play house instead of let God build their house. You've been with them. Y'all share everything. Cell phone plans, house, car notes, and you won't commit to them? Dating 9 years? And you have a 14-year-old child? Where's the commitment? Where's the covenant? And see, that's where we get stuff mixed up, because God only talked about, He never talked about connections. He only talked about covenants. If you read all throughout the scripture, I'm just setting you up. God was always concerned about who has made a covenant with who. And that's the type of relationship that I'm going to bless. And write this down. Connection with no covenant. Watch this. Cuddling with no covenant leads to some reproduction. It means that something may be raised with no care. You keep cuddling without covenant, then you are going to reproduce a kid that will then not be cared for. one of the biggest epidemics in our world today is people who are, because of loneliness and desperation, settle for a cuddle that is below the standard. That cuddle turns into a kid, and then the person says, I have no commitment to you, and I have no covenant to you, and then a child is raised with no care. And then we're trying to figure out why kids is acting like they are. When I was younger, when I was da-da-da, when I was, but you have reproduced after your own kind because you made a connection in a cuddle with no covenant. And so you reproduce without responsibility. I'm talking heavy. And the truth of the matter is, it's what we have to deal with every day. It's what we're raising our children in. Do you know, let me just give some statistics for the people like, prove it, we live in a fatherless generation. The statistics in the U.S. is that 18.3 million children live without a father in the home. That means one out of four kids in the U.S. have been reproduced and then have nobody to give them identity. What I'm saying to you is, if you keep cuddling with no covenant, somebody's going to live without care. I know nobody preaches about this because they want you to yell and scream, breakthrough! I want you to break out of this thing of being cuffed to cuddle and be, watch this, cuffed to being content. With the season that God has you in, where he has you doing the thing he's called you to do, so that in the moment he does send it, you will not settle for a counterfeit. Okay? All right. This is why I'm just going to walk slowly through this. Okay. Where was the first place, or where is the most common place people get cuddled? He said, in the movies. Now, let's go even back further than when you was in high school. Let's go back to like when you were a child, a baby, an infant. The best thing to do with a baby? They can't communicate. They can't talk. But man, ain't nothing like a fat, chunky baby. Just laying perfect, like, okay, so I got four kids, and one of the things they told us to do, I ain't never been a daddy before, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm here, and I'm like, what am I doing? And the nurse said, when the baby comes out, the first thing we're going to do is have you take your shirt off. I said, you ain't about to see me like this. And she was like, no, you got to understand, the baby needs to make a connection. It needs to cuddle with you, and we're going to do this thing called skin to skin. And I was like, skin to skin? That's how that baby got here. Well, okay. And so I'm sitting there, and they put that baby on me, and I it felt like a hug from heaven. It was like this baby, and as soon as Bella hit my chest, I said, Daddy's here. I'll protect you, I'll keep you. And I'm all this other stuff. I'm talking to the baby. I'm walking around. There's like, we need to change. We need to do something. No. We're having skin to skin. And what I found is that me cuddling with all my children was a form of connection. It was something that I didn't have to say, but you could feel. I'm trying to talk in as many metaphors as I can. When my children got older, whenever they were frustrated, mad, hurting, they started to cry. They were in their cradle. The cradle was a place of immaturity, a place where they didn't know how to deal with their emotions. And where I would go get them when they needed to be cuddled was out of their cradle. The crazy thing about it is God is calling his church to maturity. To stop cuddling with people and things that are counterfeit. Yet we have chosen to be 48 years old, still dragging around our cradle. This is the place of immaturity. I'm frustrated. I need to get cuddled by somebody. I'm not gonna forgive. I'm not gonna say I'm sorry. No! Somebody come hold me. Somebody come touch me. Knowing you have the full capability of getting your big butt out of the crib and handling business. We have been cuffed to the cuddle, and now God's asking us to mature, and we're still running to the cradle. I'm not gonna serve nobody. They don't even respect me at that church. Gia's new thing is no. And that's what we've been telling God. And he says, when are you going to answer the call of God on your life? And you're going to mature out of the cradle. I came to ask the church today, is it okay if God can use us to our full potential in our calling? Is it okay? That means you're going to have to get out of the cradle. You can't stay here and blame everybody for everything that's happened to you. You can't get cuddled and answer your call. You can't keep crying that my family wasn't there. No, it's been 48 years. And you've known for the past 22 that you need counseling. And you keep saying you can't find a counselor. Let me help you. Google. How do you find a restaurant when you're in a new city? But you can find a new restaurant, but you can't find restoration. Because you're cuffed not just to the cuddle, you're cuffed to the cradle. And so the cuddle is the place of safety and comfort and the place where you can connect with somebody. And we would rather not answer our call and get cuddled and coddled than get out of the cradle. And today I'm making a call for the church to actually get out of the place of cuddle and get out of the place of cradle. Because big boys and big girls can hear the truth and actually make changes. When my babies can't communicate, I just cuddle them. I can't share nothing with you, so I'm just gonna cuddle you. And the church, anytime we get in conflict, we wanna be cuddled instead of actually deal with the conflict. Most people are going to a person where they actually need a process. Okay. Write this down. When there is a conflict, the cuddle is a way to connect, communicate, and bring comfort. Okay? My babies are waking up at night. When my babies wake up at night, the first thing I do is bring them close. Come here. I talk to them. Now go back to your bed. If Bella's 19, coming up to me, needing a cuddle to go to sleep at night, there was a part or a portion of her life that did not get care when she was in a cradle. And because it's undeveloped as a child, she gets older, but it doesn't get healed. So she's gonna keep coming to the same thing that pacifies her. Some of y'all are in relationships and doing things with people that you don't even wanna do no more, but it's the only way you found comfort when there was conflict. And so you keep going back to the thing that pacified you in a different season. Y'all know what a pacifier is? Like all babies in the cradle. Let me just jump back off in here. Hold on, where my pacifier is at? Somebody bring me a pacifier. Sex. money, status. Status in the church. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. I'm a prophetess. I'm an apostle. I don't know what's pacifying you, but there are many of us that have been cuffed to something that pacified us in another season that God's saying you're too old for that crap now. If a 14-year-old comes up, let me introduce you to my son who's starting middle school, and he walk up to you like, whoa. The first thing you gonna say, why the heck is that grown man sucking on something that is made for an immature season? Why are you going back to people that used to help you in an immature season? Why are you going back to a cuddle that helped you when you were in crisis in first year of college, and you've been connected to that person because y'all made a connection, but it no longer serves you? I wish that we could see people how they really were. I wish I could see the Pastor Charles, Joe, come up here. I need you. Joe is one of the most awesome people in the world, but this serves tirelessly. Joe is an awesome person. Yeah, yeah. But what you don't know about Joe is there's an area of his life. Put that pastor in. How old are you, Joe? 44. What if I met Joe with the passy in his mouth? Good businessman, huh?
Yeah.
Suck on it, Joe. Yeah. Feels embarrassing up here right now. It feels degrading at this moment. But there's something that we don't know that pacifies him when there's a problem. There may be somebody, like you know that group of friends you go to when you're mad that'll get hype with you? They pacify. And then what happened? Well, then they was talking about me at the job, and then I smacked them. Oh, well, you better be glad I wasn't there, because I smacked them twice. And they... Oh. Hey, mom, come here. Yep, come on up here, prophetess. She said, oh, Lord. Come on, don't be slow. Yeah, yeah. So me and Joe, men of God. Want to switch? Oh, see? Because what we do is get around people. And we start sharing the things that pacified us in a season. Well, take a drink of this. It'll help you with your anxiety. Woman of God, how you doing? You look so beautiful, huh? Didn't know I was gonna call you up, huh? Feeling some type of way. Put the pacifier in. Because the place we don't let God heal, we will find something to bring us comfort. No matter how old we are, no matter how many times we've been used from God, and no matter how many other commitments we've made, we'll make a connection with something that makes us feel better. This is actually, though, how we're living. This is our spiritual state. It looks dumb on platform, but this is how you live every day of your life. Bro, you just need to smoke some weed. That's a pacifier. That's a pacifier for peace. You just need to get a release of pacify. You just need to go to a church where they respect your title. You just... And then you live there, you're like, where's my... Charles, could you come? And this is how we reward people. We think that people who can make it happen and go through all life and so many pressures and all this other stuff, this is why we see pastors fall. They've just figured out a lot of pacifiers. Y'all don't all get to see them, but I'm stressed out. I don't feel worthy. I walked in on my baby Gia in her crib with 3 pacifiers on. This baby had, she was double cuffing. She had 2 pacifiers in her hand, 1 connected to her, just in case she got uncomfortable. She was going to stick something into her mouth that brought her comfort. What are you using in this season that has become a pacifier in an area where you need God to turn you around so you can reach purpose? Thank y'all. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Now, and I want y'all to just make sure you keep the pacifiers the whole service, even at your seat. Because the platform, all y'all saw it. But when you really put the binky in, it's when nobody's looking. And now it's affecting your mouth. The longer you suck on one of these, I ever seen them kids where their teeth just start expanding? It's like you 17 years old and you still, it's affecting your speech. It's affecting how you believe. The people and the places you go to pacify you. Some of you, let me be very clear with you. You're cuddling with things that it's time for you to cut off. Okay. Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. This is the only verse that I really wanted to give you today. But when I became a man, when I grew up, when I realized that God had a huge call on my life, when I realized that the reason God spared me was not to just live any type of way, the reason why God spared me was to bring his name glory. Everybody say I. I put away childish, I put away my pacifiers. I deconstructed my cradle. I gave up the things and the people that were no longer serving me. But I want you to hear the key word, I. This is a decision of maturity. Write this down. God will not put away what we keep picking up.
So good, sir.
He's not putting away childish things. You have to. He's not going to cut Instagram off so you stop DMing those people. You're going to have to shut it down. You're going to have to block them. You're going to have to mute them. You may have to move because they're in the same apartment complex. And it's just convenient. They see every time you come home. Little stalkerish, but yes. And you end up in their bed cuddling because it's convenient. You may have to move. You're going to have to do something that cuts off the connection to the counterfeit. Wow. And stop praying for God to do it, because you're going to have to put your toys away. Every pacifier, Billy, Brian, Bonica, Brittany, Brandon, you're going to have to take them off. You're going to have to say, I'm worth more than this. You're going to have to say, God has a bigger call for my life, and it may take some time. Look, I'm struggling. I may have to ask somebody for help. I may have to say, this has been around me so long and I'm so comfortable in this. Can somebody come up? It's stuck. I need somebody to actually help see what I can't see. See that that person is not for me. See. And I'm gonna have to let them. I know this is heavy. But when I was a child, that was okay. God's not holding against how you when you was jacked up and just trying to, he's like, I knew you was gonna go to them. But now, after all I brought you through, after all you've learned, you got too much knowledge to be that ignorant. You still wouldn't even give yourself the advice that you're living by. Some people have great advice for others that they don't even take for themselves. Somebody say, I got to put it away. Climbing back into this cradle with such a big calling means that something didn't get proper care. And I need y'all to evaluate. Why do I keep going back to this cradle? Why do I keep, God, come get me. Use me. I'm here for your glory. Why you use them? We complain. We throw temper tantrums. We get frustrated in the cradle. And God's saying, I've given you the power and the strength to get out of this. I'm going to wait. Your muscles have grown now. Your prayer life, you got enough to get out this cradle. It would be different if this cradle was bigger than you. It would be different if you did not have, I literally have 4 feet of legs. You have everything you need to get out of this situation. And you're choosing to sit in it? Sit there. Yeah. Claim 2023, it's the year for me. Claim it. But if you're still sitting there, you'll never see what's outside of this cradle. Because you have chosen to stay immature. Pastor Mike, what are you saying? Grow up. Grow up out of that relationship that's toxic. Grow up out of the gossip that you keep going to pacify your own insecurities. Grow up out of needing a title to actually be effective. Grow up out of thinking that cash is actually going to give you a steady sense of identity. Grow up. Grow up so you can answer the call. Get out of the cradle so you can answer the call. Get out of the cradle so you can answer the amazing call that God has on your life. This is no longer the time to be committed to our cuddle more than we're committed to our calling. And God, he asked me to challenge you today. Get out of the cradle, throw away the pacifier, and walk in your purpose. Okay, let me say it like this. Purpose doesn't have a pacifier. Write it down. God is not going to cuddle and coddle you when he's called you to a great purpose. He will care for you. He'll care for you. But he's not going to say, okay, come on now. Obey me. Oh, no, no, no. Obey me. I'll give you what you want if you obey me. I'll make sure you have what you want. Just do what I ask. God gives commands. Live in purity. Well, God, I was just thinking like two more cuddles and then I would live in purity. You gonna deal with them consequences too. Everything that's been a pacifier has to go. Okay? If a platform has been a pacifier for you, it's gotta go. If people have been a pacifier for you, it's gotta go. If the paper has been a pacifier for you, it's gotta go. If pleasure has been a pacifier for you, it's got to go. The longer you suck that pacifier, It's affecting what's coming out of your mouth. I started to think, what is the prime example, and I can't even go into it fully, of somebody who was cuffed to the cuddle and they went back because it was pacifying them, and all I could think of was Samson. Samson laid his head in the lap of a woman that wanted to kill him over and over and over again because he was cuffed to the cuddle. There was something about laying in Delilah's lap that made him feel like something. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody tries to kill me once, like, I mean, one time's enough. This woman attempted to kill him several, let me just read you Judges 16:19, because y'all got to read the whole thing. But it says, Delilah, watch this, lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. She cuddled with him, counterfeit connection, no covenant. And then she called in a man to shave off the seven locks where his calling was, where his power was. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. He was lulled to sleep by the illusion of love. And I just want to talk to everybody who longs to be in a relationship. Do not settle for the illusion of love. Do not settle for the counterfeit connection. Don't give him and don't give her your cookie just to have a good time and feel a connection. Stop playing house and draw a line in the sand that you're worth more than that. You're not a replica. You have value. Y'all, this is countercultural. So I know all the blogs gonna be talking about it. I don't care. You're getting the results of the seeds you're sowing. And when you do things outside of God's, you can fake us out like everything is good, but in your soul, you're actually not living fulfilled. I counsel people every day that have settled for the counterfeit. And they've been lulled to sleep by the illusion of love. I'll say it like this. You can read the whole story of Samson, but the cuddle killed Samson. His arrogance to keep laying in the bed with that woman who had compromise on her mind. But he just felt comfortable. And what are you laying with? Who are you laying with? Who's going to compromise your calling? It's been years you've been doing this. And it only happens just ever so often. You've convinced yourself that it's okay because it only happens once every 6 months. It's better than it used to be. And what I'm saying to you is, like, I just feel prophetically this is a warning. That's the urgency I'm speaking this message with. That God's saying what you're cuddling with has the capability to kill you. It's just a matter of time. Unless you get out of this bed and unless you deconstruct your cradle, you are going to end up in, watch this word, compromise. Nobody talks about it no more because it's not sexy. But most of the body of Christ is living compromised. We do the Christian thing and then we do the carnal thing. And so that thing together leaves us compromised. And God's asking everybody at the end of this year, I mean, we only got like 4 weeks left in 2020, 4 or 5 weeks. He's saying, could you please uncuff from cuddling to anything that has the ability to kill who I called you to be? You thought it just was people. They're first to go. Jerome, get out of his bed. Delisha, you need to label them in your phone. Killer. Y'all missed it. There are people you need to label in your phone. When on your device, it needs to come up, killer. It may take 5 more months, but now you used to have such high esteem and such purpose. Because you know when you make that connection, it's not just a physical connection. That's emotional, spiritual. It's a soul tie. We can't even talk about it right now. And it has the ability to kill you. I tried to be very compassionate to Samson and ask, like, why did he keep going back to Delilah? It's because Delilah was not just his cuddle buddy. There was something he didn't get in the cradle from his parents. So when he got older, he needed Delilah to be his. Watch this. Crutch. So most of the relationships you're in, they're a crutch. Something that Delilah gave him made him feel like he could keep going. And I'm asking everybody who's listening to me, especially those who are relying on a person other than God to be your crutch. Why are you still cuddling with your crutch? You can name them, but it's just a crutch. That alcohol you drink, that person you go to for booty calls, that side hustle that takes you away from your wife and your kids, but makes you feel like a man, because your dad was never there for you. He just provided. You missed it in the cradle. You missed the care in the cradle. So now you have become what you hated because you need a crutch. I bust out these hundreds on you, though. I make it rain. Who provide all of this? Who makes this happen? How you get that? You're not God. But somehow that cash got you feeling. It's your crutch. I'm just asking everybody to evaluate, what do you have a relationship with right now that has become the thing that's holding you up? And if somebody knocks it down, you fall. Delilah was Samson's crutch. And it ended up killing him. At the end of 2022, God asked me to really evaluate, Mike, what have you been leaning on? That's not me. You have to kill your relationship with it right now. What I'm about to do with you in this next year is going to require full dependence on me. And anything the enemy can kick from under you, it will leave you compromised. If you're relying on the house to give you, the enemy said, okay, I can make the house go into foreclosure. What do I do? I'm compromised. Do you know how vulnerable I am? If somebody wanted to beat me up, this is a perfect position to kick my amen. Because I'm trying to hold on to what used to hold me up. And I'm still in a position that this can be taken from me too. And now I'm just keeping it together. And God's saying, I don't want my church fighting the war. And everybody's on crutches. For the kingdom. And everybody come out like, let's get the victory in the name of Jesus. No, this is how we look to culture. We're about to take over for the kingdom. Charge. The enemy looking at us like, this is my competition? I don't even have to fight them. I just have to kick what's holding them up. I just gotta mess with their relationship. I just gotta mess with their security. I just gotta mess with their money. I don't even have to fight them. I just have to fool with their crutches. You're not cuddling with people no more. You're cuddling with crutches. Putting everything in the bed. Scoot over. And in the bed of your calling, there's no more room for you. Oh, shoot. You got damaged unnecessarily. I think I'm bleeding for real. That corner hit me. And now I think I'm safe. But I'm actually being suffocated. There's no room when God does send the right person. If the right person came up to my life right now, there's no vacancy. Some of y'all have been filling your bed with so many other people and things that the right person literally could not even come into your life. You look full. Pastor Mike, what do I do? How do I not end up like Samson? How do I actually reach my purpose? Very simple. I'm going to give you four things, and then we out of here, okay? Because, again, just please write down the question. Like, and I just need you to reflect on it all week. Why are you still cuddling with your crutch? I just need you, like, whatever it is, why are you still cuddling with it? Some of y'all are sitting next to him. Just look forward. They've been your crutch for a decade. God called you to do things that makes them uncomfortable. Well, you ain't got to be doing it like that. Like, one of the greatest examples relationally is my parents, because my mom's the one that's more upfront and the one that's going to get on the stage and sing and do all the other stuff. But my dad is the leader of that household. And I've watched people like give my dad dab, like, man, I couldn't do what you do, like being in the background and da da da. He said, no, I'm called to support my wife. I'm called to cover her. I'm called to make sure she's safe and secure and all this other stuff. But some people could not allow their spouse to flourish and be completely confident and comfortable in who God's called them to be. It's because they're still getting their significance from the perception of other people. And the perception of other people has become their crutch. And you're still cuddling with your crutch. Like, and some of y'all, like, it's not cuddling with your crutch, it's cuddling with Chris or Christine. It's cuddling with that cush. Cuddling with your crush. Oh, God, help me. Oh, can I say it? Okay. Can I say it, y'all, please? I'm almost done. Be careful of the people who put the pacifier in your mouth that were around you in a different season when that used to hit the spot. And now you don't even want to handle the situation like that, but they think that's the only way you handle situations. And so they're offering you things that they think will solve the problem. My kids know when there's a problem with their little sister Gia, they go up to her and give her the pacifier. Here. Here. And now Gia's to the point where she's like, she's trying to communicate, but she don't got words yet. And so she's saying, oh, no, 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 no. And they're like, no, we know this will shut you up. This will, we know, even MJ, Gia, no crying. And he'll pick up her pacifier and try to stick it in her mouth. And she's saying no, but then eventually she doesn't want to fight no more. Be careful of the people be like, girl, let's just go party. That used to solve the problem. Girl, you just need to, hey, bro, man, let's just go. Let's, hey. You know, dudes, we don't even, but what do that mean? A lot. What are we about to get into? I don't need any incriminating actual words, but like. What used to call me won't call me now. I really don't need another person to cuddle with. I need to actually communicate. And I don't have the words yet. So please stop offering me the thing that's going to kill me. Give me an opportunity to become something that I haven't been yet. Give me an opportunity to mature and use my words and maybe go to counseling and get some more tools to be able to change and transform. Okay, so watch this. Man, I got so much to say. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day. I'm just being real, real, because I just feel like people need the raw vulnerable, and then we'll get out of here. I was talking to a pastor friend that said, yo, I used to struggle with pornography so bad back in the day. And he said, I am so in the purest place I've ever been in my entire life. He said, but the past month, I've been struggling so hard with temptations of pornography. This is like a pastor, like a well-known person. And I love that I have real conversations and community where a pastor could actually be saying it before something happens. Because that's when y'all judge them and make a video. Christians. But we're having community and conversations. Like, I've been so drawn to pornography. And he said, and I've realized that I have matured in my walk, but how I used to handle situations when I felt overwhelmed or pressured, I haven't gotten new ways to handle the situations. So I'm more mature than I've ever been, but when there's a problem, I only have the same tools that I used to go to pacify me. And he said, I was able to recognize ain't nothing wrong. I just need new ways to deal with the problems that I'm dealing with right now. And that may be the same thing for you in this room right now. Like, okay, let me just say it to you like this. Purpose? How many people want to reach purpose right now? Like, you want to do the thing that God called you to do. Okay, I'm going to give you the keys right here. Purpose requires progress. Purpose, write it down. Purpose requires progress. And the word I want to attach to that is maturity. If you're going to reach your purpose, you're going to have to mature. Everybody say maturity. Maturity. It's a cuss word, but I'm praying that in the next year, you would grow more spiritually, physically, and emotionally than you have grown in the past decade. Somebody needs to receive that by faith. I'm believing with you that in the next year, you will grow more than you have in the past 10 years. Okay? But that means you're going to have to mature. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. Like, stop being in the cradle when it comes to your evil thoughts and your evil actions and keeping grudges and stuff like that. But in your thinking, this is the Bible. Be adults. Grow up. For us to be able to mature, it's going to start in our thinking first. I just want to see a church who's not blaming everybody else for what's wrong with the church, but looks, how am I a part of the solution in what God is trying to do in this church and in this city? Like, I wanna, but that takes adulting. And the truth of the matter is, we rather blame somebody else than actually let God use us. Everybody say maturity. Okay, so if purpose requires progress or maturity, progress demands a process. You're not gonna mature without a process. We think getting older makes us wiser. And some people get dumber as the days go by. I am not even playing. Like, You are living off of old ideas of people who have no idea what God's called you to do. And if you're going to progress, it's going to demand a process. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. I love the Bible. But whoever hates correction is stupid. You don't want to get in a process that corrects you? Stupid. That is stupid. You don't want to go to marriage counseling and you've never been married before? Stupid. Or you've been married 6 times and you still won't go to marriage counseling? Stupid. It's saying if you won't submit to some type of process, who are you under? What are you learning? Who can give you the sit down and shut up card in your life? If you are the boss of every, I don't care how much money you make. If nobody can tell you nothing, stupid. I'm not saying you stupid. It's stupid to think that you're going to mature and you're going to grow without a, everybody say process. Okay. So we need a process. So if purpose requires progress, maturity, progress demands a process. That's where you work on your mechanics. If I was bad at shooting free throws, they would say, keep shooting free throws. Work on my mechanics. And many of us need to work on the things that seem mundane, but actually are going to win us the game. Telling the truth wins you the game. Being a man or a woman of character wins you the game. Having integrity, that means doing the right thing when no one is looking, that wins you the game. Being a man or woman of your word, that wins you the game. Living in purity wins you the game. But it's mundane to do those things. To just keep doing, but that's what the Christian life is. It is the compounding interest of doing the same basic things over time that create a huge result and end eternal. Ooh, that was nasty. I mean, doing the same thing, serving, showing up, loving people, giving. Like, it's not like, but it's that compound interest of doing those same things over 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years that ends up in a life that rings and echoes through eternity. So okay, we're almost there. Process requires progress, maturity. Progress demands a process, mechanics. Watch this. So process takes a practice. What are you actually practicing? Whatever you practice, that's what you're going to get mastery in. Some of y'all practice gossip, and you're a master. Some of you practice covering up the truth. That's why your best friend don't even know the thing you're cuffed to. How you got a roommate that don't know you deal with that? They live with, but you're a master at the cover-up. Cuffed to the cover-up. Yeah, I am. Okay? I'm not talking about making something super spiritual. I want to bring it all the way down. Write this down. A practice is always practical. There's something you can do practically today that will start the process, that will break the chain so you can reach your purpose. You can uncuff from the cuddle. You can uncuff from the cradle. You can get out of the pacifier, and you can reach purpose. I think about what God said in Matthew chapter 6. These are simple practices. Prayer, fasting, giving. Literally, the thing that has changed my heart more than anything is these three practices. How did I get out of people's beds? How did I uncuff from the perversion and the things that had me going to things that couldn't fulfill me? These three things: prayer, fasting, and giving. Pastor Mike, that ain't got nothing to do with when I'm burning in the middle of the night. Yes, it does. Because what it does is give God access to your heart. When you pray, you can be honest. God, I hate being single. And I hate da-da-da-da-da. And I hate seeing such and such and such. But God, I'm right here. And I'm asking you again to give me what I need to make it through this night. Not the next 30 years. Tonight. Tonight, don't let me answer that phone. Tonight, let me not stop on that website. Tonight, God, I need you to give me joy about my future. Let me get a vision of my children or my family or me helping other people. God, give me something to help sustain me tonight. The temptation of tonight is enough. And God said, just come to me in prayer. And then sometime I'm going to ask you to give up something, sacrifice something, fast. You mean don't eat? Yeah. Well, the church, it's not 21 days of prayer and faster. Yeah, and I'm not calling the community to a fast. I'm asking you. Well, it's Thanksgiving. And Christmas is on the way. Yeah, for the rest of the year. If you give me the next 30 days, I'll give you answers about the next 365. Like, but God, my great-grandma's pistachio cake. It's never saved you. It's never helped you. It's actually, you've been cuffed to the cake. It's actually put you back. Couple LBs. Matthew 6, you can go look at it. Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, when you fast, watch the last one, when you give. Pastor Mike, what are you talking about? Like, these three things can get you uncuffed from the cuddle. Pastor Mike, did you take us the long way around this huge mountain to tell us we need to do the basics? You're not going to get fulfilled there. But if you pray, you fast, and you give, God will take care of your relationships. He'll take care of your finances. He'll fulfill your life. I am a living testimony. I was cuffed to the cuddle. I almost lost the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my wife, cuddling with people that I was never supposed to have a connection with. I almost, thank you, God, that you begin to teach me the principles of process and being practical with a practice through prayer, fasting, and giving. I'm challenging every person that's under the sound of my voice to stop cuddling with the counterfeit and get with Christ. And he's going to ask you to do one of these three things very practically when you make a decision to grow up. Pray, fast, give. That's too easy, Pastor Mike. You ain't done it. You haven't been committed. I don't care how much money you make. God said, I'll still require you to pray, fast, and give. What is God going to ask everybody to do in this next year to mature? Pray. What? Fast. And what else? Give. Just say it one more time. If you're going to actually grow up in God and get out of the cradle, you're going to have to pray. What else? Fast. And do what? Give. Amen. Nothing has matured me more than those three practices: prayer, fasting, giving. It teaches you how to love. It teaches you how to obey. It teaches you who your source is. It's time for the church. Grow up. I love you so much. But it's time for us to do what? Next week, everybody hear me. We're going to be, as a church, giving in a crazy faith offering. We do this every year. It's our end of the year offering that we use this moment to check our heart and actually accelerate the vision of this house. But this year, I had a different feeling in my mind and in my heart when I was praying about it. God said, this year is not about amounts. It's about maturity. Hear me when I say this. This is the moment where people start trying to duck out and feel like, oh, he's not talking to me no more. Hear me. This is the moment that God said, I'm going to ask you to give something that's going to be a sacrifice. And I'm going to ask you to pray about what you want to give. Some of y'all going to need to fast. Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to show me exactly how I'm supposed to do this. I got to push out all the other distractions so I can hear from you. And then God's going to ask you to do what's the last thing? Give. Transformation Nation, transformation in this church. I believe this is about to be the biggest breakthrough year of our life because we're about to mature. And this is going to be an uncuffing season for your life as you obey God. And hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. If you ain't got it, God's not requiring it. So let me be very clear to you. But some of us, God is requiring something that is going to take an effort for you to obey him. I had one of my friends start selling stuff because God told them something and they said, I ain't got it. He said, yeah, you do. It's just in your closet. Uncuff from it. Somebody else, they had to go pull money out of an investment to obey God. This has happened year after year. Me and Pastor Natalie, we are believing God for a home right now. And then God told me what we supposed to give. And I don't know if he heard my prayer about the home. Because he's asking me to give what I actually need. I'm not leading you from a place of, hopefully y'all do it and I'm good. Every single year, people that know me know, I be up here, palms sweaty, obeying God, because I can never ask you or lead you into something that I'm not willing to stand here and believe God for myself. I need God to move. And he said, you want to mature, Michael? Come on up. Pray. Fast. Give. Next week, not even next week, tomorrow. People are already going to be driving in. The team told me that people already started giving. The first week we said something about crazy faith. People said, I can't wait until whatever date you said, because it'll be gone. I got to obey God now. What I'm saying, over the next week and a half, I believe, we will have rooms at this location open. And I want everybody, whether you're giving finances or not, I want you to go online and fill out a crazy faith card. And I want you to put on here what you're uncuffing from and what you're believing God in crazy faith. This is going to be vulnerable. Some of y'all going to need two cards. Some of y'all going to need to print off your own piece of paper because it ain't going to fit on this little card. She said, I need a whole roller, like, put it out. Get a poster board. But God's saying, I want you to write the vision and make it plain of what you're believing me for. And I want you to write what you're uncuffing from. And then I want you to pray. And if you need to, you need to fast. And then I want you to obey. And what's the last one?
Give.
Say it like you mean it.
Give.
I want to say this, and I hope y'all know, I am not smart enough to plan none of this stuff. I'm just up here authentically trying to obey God. Transformation Church does not need resources. Like, to the glory of God, through the faithfulness of the people who already believe in this vision. I don't know if you notice, like, it's not like every Sunday we're giving 50,000, 100,000, 200,000. Like, this is not like a, like, oh, hopefully we raise some. Like, God has superseded through the faithfulness of so many people. We don't got no million-dollar givers. We don't got yet, in the name of Jesus. If you're watching and the Lord has placed it on your heart, do your thug thizzle. But, like, I just want to be very transparent with y'all. This is not a money grab. This is an opportunity for all of us to mature. And I don't care where you are in your life, God's going to require us to do something that makes us use our faith to stand knowing that God is going to be faithful even in the midst of whatever's going on. Would everybody stand all over the building and at home? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Giving is a sacrifice. But my commitment to giving every year, it solidifies my covenant with God. Remember, I told you the cuddle is a counterfeit covenant. And God wants the real thing. Would everybody just lift your hands all over this building? I'm going to pray for a couple of different people. For anybody that's been in a relationship that has been unhealthy and toxic, I need y'all to pray right now. Father, I'm asking that you would uncuff them by the principles that were shared today. Father, I thank you that people will stop settling for the counterfeit. That they are going to commit to you. Father, even people who are in abusive relationships, I need y'all to pray right now. People, Father, that have been trapped to the same cycles, Father God, that has been in their generational line. Today, we thank you for a breaking right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a way of escape, Father God. I thank you for the right community, Father. For people who have been contributing to the cycles. I just see cycle, cycle, cycle. Today, Father God, everything they've been laying down with that is not like you, Father God. The people who have been settling for less because they think nothing else is coming. God, I'm thanking you that they would be cuddled and connected to only you, Father God. Thank you for bringing us into another level, Father God, of commitment to our calling. And Father, for every person that's under the sound of my voice, Father, who has been uncuffed, but now is feeling no contentment, I thank you, Father God, that you're bringing contentment back to your people. That God's telling me to tell you, don't get weary in well-doing. Because in due season, if you don't faint, God is about to do something that you've never seen. God, thank you that you would help my brothers and sisters who've been living in purity, who've been trying to do the right thing, Father. Let them stay in the fight of faith, Father God, so that they get not a well done from people, but a well done from you, God. Thank you that you hear them, you see them, and Father, you will reward. God, I'm thanking you for every person, God, that is now putting down the pacifiers. Whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's pornography, whether it's friendships. God, I'm asking you that our pacifiers are coming out. And Father, we're going to commit to purpose. Let us mature in you. Somebody just say, God, mature me. Yes. Just one more time. Just say, God, mature me. Into the person you have called me to be, full of purpose. Do it on the inside of us, God. And I specifically pray for every person that is about to take this next step of faith in maturing by giving next Sunday and this week and all throughout this month. I thank you, Father, that you would confirm what you have said to them. Father, your word says that your sheep know your voice and a stranger they will not listen to. God, would you just be clear with husbands and wives, with families, with single parents, Father, with business owners? Would you be clear what they're supposed to give? And God, give them the courage and the audacity to obey you. Father, I'm praying even for me and Natalie, what you've said. God, I thank you that we would have the audacity to obey you. And we thank you that the fruit of our obedience is going to be a legacy of faith. Thank you, Father. We're not building for right now. We're building for eternity. Thank you, Father, for this group of people that's just crazy enough to believe you could do something with little old us. Today, we are partnering with you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. If you're in this room right now and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I just need you to have an opportunity to make the greatest decision of your life. It's the thing that took me from being addicted to pornography, a liar, a manipulator, somebody who had so much negative stuff in their heart. I need the church to begin to pray. There's a war that's going on for somebody's soul right now. And I just want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus. I don't care where you are, what you've done, who you've been cuddling with, what you've been cuffed to. The grace of God is bigger than all of that. And all he needs you to do is accept him in this moment. If you are here watching this online podcast, live rebroadcast 10 years from now, God's saying today is the day of salvation. And if you want to uncuff from the things you've been cuddling that have been counterfeits, and you want to get cuffed to Christ, the only thing that can fulfill you, the only thing that knows you, today is your day. On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand. I don't care if you're in an office, at the gym, walking on a track, in this room. Right now, all I want you to do is slip your hand up on the count of three to acknowledge that you want to receive this amazing gift of salvation. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you. But more than that, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I see hands going up right now. Three, would you just lift your hands? I see you, brother. I see you, brother. I see you, sister. I see you. Come on, there's people all over this place. There's hundreds of people online. I see you. But more than me seeing you, God sees you. Hey, at Transformation Church, we're a family. So I need everybody to pray this prayer with me right now. Just lift your hands to heaven and just say, God, thank you for sending Christ to uncuff me. Today, I give you my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again. With all power, just for me. Today, I repent. I turn, and I turn towards you. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate all over the world? Oh, y'all better help me. Let's celebrate all the life change. Hey, glory to God. Hey, did y'all know in the year 2022, we've seen over 36,000 salvations as, oh, y'all better help me. Over 36,000, glory to God. Starting tomorrow, we will have crazy faith booths, atmospheres for you to come give. People are gonna worship in these atmospheres. They're gonna give, they're gonna bring their children. I encourage you to bring your children. Me and Natalie bring our children. What are y'all doing? We're honoring God. We're obeying God. We're believing God. And I believe that this week, God's going to do something in this church that's going to be unparalleled. I love you. I believe in you. And I think that many of us need to share this message with several people so that we can allow God to keep uncuffing us. Next week, it's going to be crazy. I love you. Let this be the best week of your life. God, I speak blessing over your people. And I thank you, God, that you are going to do something that nobody else can get credit for. We give you the glory, honor, and praise. Father, for the week we about to go into, some people going to work tomorrow, and it's going to try to take us out. I thank you for joy in the midst of the storms. I thank you for love and light all around. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. We agree? We expect. Somebody say amen. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life. Let's give God some praise in the room.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Here at Transformation Church, our vision is to represent God to the lost and the found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282, or you can visit on our website. Also, be sure to subscribe and check out all the other incredible sermons available, as well as watching our live Sunday experience that begins at 10:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now, go out and live a transformed life.